all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Monday, February 6th. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. Coming up this morning, balloons and buffoons. Did you notice that an entire class of politicians seem to lose their damn minds all at once? We will review the mass outrage over a balloon. A balloon. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is demanding records of menstrual cycles from young girls competing in sports, which is not at all creepy, not at all, and totally in line with the big government image Republicans claim to be against when they're not in control of government. Kristen Lyerly will give us a view from an OBGYN perspective. And there she is now joining us from an undisclosed location, far, far away from here. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly.
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. You're back home.
I am back home after a quick jaunt out to get some grandbaby love and then race right on back here. So you, meanwhile, are out practicing obstetrics and gynecology in rural Minnesota, or at least you were over the weekend. Again, talking about the ongoing shortage of healthcare providers across the area.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it wasn't my plan. Actually, we had tickets for the Bucks game on Saturday night, but one of the hospitals that I work with in Minnesota had a need for emergency coverage. And if I wasn't going to be able to staff, then they were going to have to shut things down for the weekend. So here I am, still in Minnesota, coming home tomorrow.
And that's something happening across northern Wisconsin as well, as more places shut down their labor and delivery units, and there's fewer providers available. And then you throw in an abortion ban written in 1849 that's chasing doctors away. We'll get into all that in just a bit. One more guest to talk about. In my mind, the best way to clean up politics is to stage an execution of corporate personhood. Because a couple of U.S. Supreme Court decisions have done untold damage to American democracy by allowing corporations to have some of the same free speech rights as you, an actual human being. The fire hose of corporate and billionaire dollars will continue to flood our elections until we fix the U.S. Constitution. It's a years-long uphill process, but it's the only way forward. And George Penn of United to Amend outlines the problems, the solution, and what you can do about it. Also, Terry Bell with Three Things You Need to Know. And then finally, if you want to reach us here, radio@upnorthnewswi.com or our phone number 844-967-2789. And I believe it's Aaron Zommers standing by in our Madison studio, though there's been no camera confirmation of that yet. So just some cryptic messages coming back and forth. There he is now, Mr. Zommers. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry about the slight delay this morning, but we got it figured out. We're all good.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask, and actually, I think I sent a note earlier. I know that there was discussions about certain things happening at the Madison radio station. Is there anything new there to report this morning after a weekend of Charlie Barron's?
Yes, just a second.
Bringing up the memo now. Let's see.
Yes, the Madison station, Devil Radio, has now died. We had the funeral.
They've killed the devil.
Yep, we've killed the devil.
Okay.
Now the Madison station is called Mad Radio instead of Devil Radio, and the call sign instead of WTTN 1580 AM, we have WMDX 1580 AM. Still the same FM signal to 92.7.
So Mad Radio in Madison. See, I see what they did there. Yeah.
Sounds better.
See, the Devil Radio thing, it made sense if you followed Dom and Crute and their show where they play the devil's advocates. It's a political term, so they can fight with one another. But other people kept looking like Devil Radio. What are we talking about here? So, you know, so we'll go with Mad Radio, and that's great. We are due to take a breather here. So Dr. Lyerly will join me as we look at the headlines and Grammys and everything else from the weekend, all just ahead on a Monday here on Up North News Radio. Nothing but Grammy winners today on Up North News Radio. That's what I asked Aaron to do, but now Aaron's going to have to play disc jockey for every one of them because I don't have the list of Grammy winners in front of me. So, Aaron, I believe that was about damn time. Yes?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Did you catch it all, Kristen?
Oh, every last drop of it. It was so good. Can we talk about Grammys all morning? Please.
We can, except for a little segment here during this segment where I'm gonna have some things to say about a balloon. But let's take at least a couple of minutes and talk about the Grammys first, because I did ask, knowing full well I was going to be out by 9 o'clock, that you kind of, you know, hold the late shift on the Grammys. So I'm gonna talk about what I saw first here for highlights, and then I want you to jump in and talk about the second half of the show. For me, from the first half of the show, I'm not the biggest country music fan, much less Chris Stapleton, but I know who he is and I get how popular he is and why. And that was reaffirmed when Stevie Wonder basically picked him to join him and Smokey Robinson as part of a tribute to Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson starting Motown. And so Chris Stapleton joining Stevie Wonder on Higher Ground, both his voice and his guitar, fantastic. And Smokey Robinson, 82 years old, still hits every note. Just that was a great little segment there. I liked that one.
I did too. He was so smooth and sweet. And Chris Stapleton has that deep, rich, bluesy voice that I'm a fan. I really like his music.
And somebody pointed out, not me, somebody on social media, but called my attention to it, saying, look at the way Chris is watching Stevie Wonder play the keyboard. You can just see the admiration as one artist is trying to learn from the other. So I thought that was great. I love that people were speculating whether Beyonce was ghosting the Grammys when she wasn't there for her first award of the night, but apparently stuck in traffic. So, you know,
there's it's LA.
Yeah, it's LA, so leave earlier, maybe. Harry Styles for Best Pop Vocal Album. Again, Harry Styles, I don't listen regularly, but the things that I hear, I like them with One Direction. So I thought that was good, but a lot of people talked about with Harry Styles winning for, I think it was Album of the Year. It's the one award that people said Beyonce didn't win, that, you know, maybe she should have or has been denied again or what have you. But I mean, this was a big year in terms of, you know, talent to choose from.
Mm-hmm. It was really fun to watch. There was Harry Styles. I mean, come on. He could wear like pajamas and bunny slippers on stage and everybody would be like, that's a new style. And it would mostly be women over 40 who would be screaming because there's something about Harry Styles and older women. And I don't know. He's just fantastic.
I love it. Trevor Noah talked about how women would throw their panties up on stage and then Harry would put them on and look better than they did wearing them. I did like Brandy. I liked Brandy Carlile. She got Best Rock Song for Broken Horses, something I hadn't heard before. And I wasn't crazy about the song at the moment, simply because I don't know that it was mixed very well. I'm sure if you were in the audience, it sounded great. Now I'm going to go back and listen to the recording, because I mean, she did a fantastic, you know, job with it. So those were some of the things that I saw. And then what I missed was, I knew there was going to be a 50th anniversary tribute to rap music, and then some of the larger awards. But what did you get out of the second half of it?
I just have to say this to you, Pat. My mics sound good. Check one.
Two.
And no, you're supposed to say my mics sound good. Check two. It's a salt and pepper sign, Pat. Aaron, help me out, Aaron. I'll give you a minute. The 50th tribute. The 50th anniversary of rap was fantastic. LL Cool J led it, and he still has all of it. Salt and Pepper were there. Busta Rhymes laid down some incredible lyrics. I mean, it was so much fun. Missy Elliott and Doja Cat and Jay-Z were just rocking out in the audience. It was fun. It was electric. And I really got a sense that the entire show, with the format change, was all about having fun and less about formality.
I unfortunately who does I like big butts? That was a Doritos commercial. It just kind of had that whole sellout thing to it. I wanted to make one more observation. Oh, the In Memoriam, as we call it, Who's Dead, from the past year. A lot of big names on there, and then several songs that were played underneath them. I understand why they started doing it at the Academy Awards. It used to be just, the orchestra would play and it would sound like a funeral. And so they started adding some singers and things to talk over the montage of actors and actresses and directors who'd been lost the past year. I get that. But the Grammys are for people who can actually make music. We didn't get to hear any Jerry Lee Lewis or Bobby Rydell or Irene Cara or Olivia Newton-John or any of that there. That's where you can truly make a music montage of people that have been lost over the past year. But again, on the whole, I think the show got off to a really good start. And again, like so many things, while COVID is not gone and you still need to get vaccinated and everything else, the relief that you could see on people being able to get together again after getting vaccinated and taking precautions, I mean, that was palpable to see that.
Yes. And there were two other things that I think were really significant. Jill Biden came out and gave a new award, and it was about social consciousness and music and how it really fits into the social fabric of the world. And it went to an Iranian artist who wrote this anthem, which is considered the anthem for the Iranian Revolution. So that was pretty great. And then Lizzo. Lizzo is all about like positivity and supporting each other. And when she received her award, you could tell that she was completely just like astonished that she got it. And she gave a giant tribute to Prince and talked about how she wanted to use her talent to be positive in the world, to elevate each other. She said, I have it written down here because I was so excited. We are good. Stay true to yourself. And she talked to Beyonce about how in fifth grade she got to skip school to go see a Beyonce concert and how inspirational that was to her. So all of those positive vibes, that was like totally my jam. I loved it.
And they went total gospel choir with what the audience originally thought was going to be About Damn Time. But then she transitioned into her song Beautiful, which, itself was beautiful and beautifully done as well. You mentioned Jill Biden. I want to make a quick transition into some other political headlines for a minute or two here. President Joe Biden and the cabinet will embark on a post-State of the Union blitz to at least 20 states this week, and that includes Joe Biden coming to Madison on Wednesday to talk about job creation following tomorrow night's address to Congress. Biden will devote much of his second State of the Union address to highlighting his efforts over the past 2 years to create jobs and improve the nation's infrastructure. So look for that on Tuesday night, the speech, and Wednesday, the visit to Madison. And the balloon. I mean, look. I am embarrassed for Republican politicians after these past several days. I mean, it was so out of line for what we used to expect from American leaders, even if you were in the opposition party when there was any kind of a foreign threat to the country. And as much as I despise conspiracy theorists, so I'm not saying this is an actual conspiracy. I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me if the Chinese government said, you know, we don't really have to take any pot shots at Joe Biden. We just, let's put this balloon up and watch Republicans go crazy attacking the president of their own nation. We didn't shoot it down over people. Nobody got hurt. Nothing was dispersed over land. You got to collect everything from it that fell into the ocean. We probably got much more intel on China than they did on us. It worked out in the best case scenario for a balloon. Again, for a balloon. And meanwhile, you had. I just have to use the word. You have idiots like J.D. Vance and others posing for pictures with their guns fired at the sky, like a bullet was going to get something 100,000 feet up. Or I think it was Derek Van Orden talking about, you know, a Cessna. A Cessna can't get to 100,000 feet. Derek Van Orden was perhaps the most embarrassing. And that's saying a lot, given that Congressman Mike Gallagher was on TV throughout talking about his new China committee with that fleece vest that he now wears every time. It leads me to think, Kristen, he can't get it off, that there's a stuck zipper or something. And he just puts different shirts underneath the vest. But I mean, I don't recall seeing his kind of reaction and omnipresence on cable TV when those three different balloons went through during the Trump administration. But to get back to Derek Van Orden, I had to count his last 22 tweets. 19 were about the balloon. And I mean, including some for a guy that loves to talk about his military record. I mean, they were disparaging of the military. In one case, tweets, history lesson for the folks defending Biden because he's taking the advice of our, quote, best military minds. Those folks have not won a war in 80 years. They abandoned thousands of Americans in Afghanistan last year and are so woke they are asleep. Okay, never mind that. Almost none of that is true in there. Mr. Navy SEAL either hates the U.S. military, in which he constantly talked about having served, or he's showing us why he's not in military intelligence right now. And my final point on this is, if the military is so bad at it, why don't you advocate cutting their budget? I mean, it seems that's what you suggest doing to public schools, right? Cut their budgets if you don't like the job that they're doing. I'm not hearing that out of this crowd, which, again, Kristen, it's a balloon.
He got to work a little woke into his tweet, though. So that was probably the purpose of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, conservative Bill Kristol. Nobody's ever going to, you know, mistake Bill Kristol for a liberal. And he went off on all these GOP politicians. And one of them was, if the balloon had anti-Black history messages on it, or if it were... if it were dropping anti-trans pamphlets down to earth, or if it was broadcasting denunciations of wokeness, well, nonstop MAGA would then be pro-balloon. They'd be welcoming the balloon. They'd be worshiping the balloon, is what he said, had to say about it, because, again, they're all about the politics. And he went on with another thread of, what if we had a Republican Party that behaved like a loyal opposition? You know, what if they cared more about weakening President Xi than attacking President Biden and coming together as Americans, which is the kind of thing that we used to see?
Wouldn't that be crazy? Well, I saw Mike Gallagher on TV talk about how this didn't happen during the Trump administration. So, like, that's mixed messages.
Well, they certainly are masters of that. And they, as has been said many a time, they'll... even when they know something's no longer true, they know that if you continue to say it enough times, enough people will believe that it is true. And it's just, like I said, it's embarrassing. That's really the only way to put it. Let's see. We didn't get to sports quickly. The Bucks beat Miami on Saturday. I think that is 7 in a row for the Bucks. And sure, number 14 Marquette men's basketball beat Butler on Saturday for their 5th straight win. And at the NFL Pro Bowl, they played flag football, and nobody cares. When we come back, Dr. Kristen Lierley again, talking more about some of the headlines and more Grammy winners coming up. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
And once again, here's Aaron Zomers to tell us about the Grammy winners that we're hearing today.
Yes, this is Just Like That by Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, yeah, Bonnie won last
night. She looked so surprised. She looked absolutely shocked that she won this.
Yeah, good for her. That's great. Welcome back. Beautiful. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday. Pat Kreitlow, Aaron Zomers, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us, as she often does on Monday mornings. On Thursdays, we talk to Kristen about our hometown health segment and get into different healthcare aspects that are in the news or that are good for your community. On Monday, you know, sometimes things are a little bit lighter depending on the headlines. That's not going to be the case today because there's just enough going on out here that we need the perspective of a physician like Kristen, an OBGYN, to talk about the I can't use that word on the radio, the crazy things that are happening out there. And if time allows, we will get to the third on the list, which I can't believe I'm saying is third, but it's the one least, you know, referencing the OBGYN that we have here, is that the Supreme Court basically through the Fifth Circuit is now siding with domestic abusers and allowing domestic abusers to keep their guns, even if they pose a threat, you know, to a domestic partner. We will talk about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and whether there's going to eventually be a requirement for girls to report their menstrual cycles if they want to take part in sports, because that's how wackadoodle the anti-trans movement has become. But I wanted to start with IVF, and this tweet came out from a doc in, I don't know where, I just know she's another OBGYN, and I wanted to talk to Kristen about this. It said, if you thought we were overreacting to the overturn of Roe v. Wade, let me remind you there are abortion bills in several states, that some of which clearly prohibit IVF as we know it. All of them impact reproductive care and risk maternal life. These are the kinds of things your IVF docs have been warning in an attempt to restrict all abortions. It actually restricts proper medical care, miscarriage, pregnancy management, treatment of ectopics, contraceptive issues, and fertility treatments like IVF. So, Kristen, for folks that are who don't want to believe this, can you explain how going after, however it is they think they're going after abortions, how the actual impact it has on couples that actually want to welcome a child into the world and have been going through the heart-wrenching ordeal that leads up to IVF?
The heart of the problem is politicians interfering in your personal medical decisions. That is really the substance here. Because when politicians talk about abortion, they're talking about it in this shocking, unreal kind of way. When I talk about abortion with my patients, I'm talking about it in a very medical, relevant, personal, common way. And that's what Dr. Crawford is getting to in this series of tweets that she put out there. She's a reproductive endocrinologist, which we would consider an infertility specialist. So it's her job to help people who want to start families have access to the support and the information and the resources that they need to be able to do that. And this is complicated stuff. Like, you know, for some people, they can just get pregnant real easy. But for other people, it takes a lot of time and effort and emotional, like the stress involved is huge. And once you're pregnant, you're not done. The risk of miscarriage is high. Is the pregnancy going to stick? Will the pregnancy have a problem down the road? Will you experience a maternal health condition that'll put your health at risk and the baby's health at risk? There are so many things that can happen throughout a pregnancy. She highlights some of these things. PPROM, water breaking at 17 weeks. What do you do in that situation? Bleeding, blood pressure problems, so many things can happen with desired, wanted pregnancies. And this is why we need to take the political definition of abortion out and just be able to take care of our patients, just be able to make our own personal medical decisions.
Just as the one example, this 17-weeker, it says, imagine a pregnancy you conceived with IVF, in vitro fertilization. Your water breaks at 17 weeks, but there is a heartbeat. The baby won't make it to viability, 24 weeks, but we can't intervene, she writes, until your life is in danger. This will happen once your uterus is infected. You will lose your baby and you will lose your uterus, quite likely. Mm-hmm. And that one of the many examples that she lists of the, I don't even know if I can, I can't even call them really unintended consequences, because the attitude about it is, you know, so what? So what if that's one of the consequences of it, you know?
And that's exactly what's happening in Wisconsin right now. That scenario, which seems very generic, is actually happening. And it's happened to me. I almost lost a patient for exactly this reason. I was not allowed to provide her the care that I knew she needed, and she nearly died.
And then it starts, it's starting even earlier now. It's not just attacks on women of childbearing age. It's girls who are, you know, in puberty and adolescence, and all in the name of attacking trans people, where you have in Florida the potential for a requirement of reporting to the government when high school girls have their periods. Again, I have to go back and ask why. What is this, just to prove that girls are girls when they take part in sports? Is that the reason behind this proposal?
What's the big deal, Pat? Girls love to talk wildly about their periods all the time.
Yeah.
They always have normal periods. So let's make sure we get that on the books. I mean, really, women who are first, girls who are first starting to have their periods, first of all, their periods tend to be kind of irregular. And that's a really sensitive time in someone's life. I mean, hey, people out there who have periods, remember when it first started happening to you and how embarrassing it was? Or, you know, for many people, it's just something that you don't want to talk to or talk about, even to people who you trust. So having to report that to the government to prove that you are a person who has periods so that they can classify you for their political reasons? Come on.
The article from the Associated Press says, Florida currently asks female high school athletes to provide information about their menstrual cycle on health forms that are required to participate in sports, but that part of the reporting is not mandatory. However, new recommendations were developed by the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee and approved in late January and will now be considered by the Athletic Association Board of Directors later this month. That board includes a representative from DeSantis and then others who are picked, all of them in response to quote-unquote concerns about transgender athletes competing in women's sports, as some social media users claim. And again, it all comes back to this wildly simplistic mindset behind these things. In the mind of those who want to ban all abortions, they believe all abortions are elective by people who are too lazy to take birth control. You know, they don't think about the complications at all about pregnancy and whatnot. And similarly with this issue, to them, transgenders are nothing more than they can't get over the fact that Tom Hanks's first starring role was in a 1970s TV sitcom called Bosom Buddies, where
he
had to wear a dress. And to them, that's what anybody who claims to be trans is, this comedic character who's just, you know, who can't make it in boys or men's sports. And so they're going to go there, and we must stop that, when that's, it's nothing like that at all. And y'all can stop trying to wish trans people away anytime you want. Just like you want to keep trying to wish gay people away. Stop it. It's not happening.
No, it's definitely not happening. And in fact, I'm just going to loop back to the Grammys, because the first trans woman to receive a Grammy happened last night. Kim Petras and Sam Smith won a Grammy for Unholy. And it's so good. And man, everybody was celebrating when this happened. I mean, this is the world right now. This is the world that we're living in. Finally, let's embrace it and just like be who we are and love each other for who we are, instead of using divisive things like this to tear us apart and get your vote. I mean, ultimately, it really comes down to categorizing people into political parties and getting them to vote for you and maintaining your political power. It has nothing to do with being a person.
The red carpet special on E! Prior to the Grammys, the MC for the red carpet was Laverne Cox, a trans woman who's become rather outspoken as well, and thankfully so. again, this is where we are, and this is a good thing. And the people who are going to be saying it's not are the ones like, you know, Tim Allen talking about how he doesn't win awards anymore because he's a conservative. No, you don't win it because you don't have any talent. And maybe you'd have more talent if you'd stop being so grouchy and hateful all the time. Maybe that's maybe that's the key. But now that third story that I talked about, it is now legal for domestic abusers to own a gun in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, because a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals based a ruling on past language about other cases from the U.S. Supreme Court and said that people with a history of violent abuse of their romantic partners or partners' children still get their Second Amendment right to own a gun, even if a court has determined that they are a credible threat to the physical safety of such a partner or child. And again, it's turning back the clock to a Wild West mentality where, you know, again, in their simplistic view, everybody owns a gun. And so if somebody is abusing you, you just take your gun out and shoot them. I guess is what they want now. Look, you.
This is a total lack of common sense.
I know. Look, I'm putting a lot on you, but I also know that you talked, you know, your patients over the years. Mm-hmm. I know that there have been times you've gotten them to finally acknowledge that they are in an abusive situation. This is not something that it's not a label they're wearing right when they walk into the office, and they don't know where to turn for help or resources. And you know, you're trying to make their lives a little bit easier by getting them to resources and getting them away from the situation where they could be murdered.
Yeah, domestic abuse is actually really common. And we are taught to talk with our patients about this. And pediatricians talk with their patients about this as well. We know that a household that has a firearm is more likely to be involved in an incident where, you know, the firearm is used against a partner. Domestic abuse is there as well. So there are definitely opportunities for us to be able to take precautions, to be able to be smart and take care of each other. And this is just another one of those situations where politics wins out over common sense, over humanity, and the vulnerable end up losing. It doesn't make any sense, Pat.
Just a reminder that that we had a candidate for governor here in Tim Michaels who dismissed concerns about red flag laws using the example that showed that he believes it would have been used for women to just make up allegations in order to have their you know, because they might be going through a messy breakup. And so
we know that women love to shout that from the rooftops, like, hey, everybody, I'm in a domestic abuse situation. They don't. Most people hide it. And that's the problem.
Yes, that is in a lot of these instances that we talked about, whether it's, you know, a couple deciding very quietly without wanting to let everybody know that they are working on trying to get pregnant, or somebody that is in need of abortion care, or somebody that is in an abusive situation. All of these things require a degree of privacy, a degree of discretion, a degree of compassionate care from professionals. You know what it doesn't need? It doesn't need a politicians like a lumbering ox, you know, wandering into the exam room or the counseling session or the police station and saying, we know what's best. And even if we don't, we know that it's going to help us win elections. So let me mention again, there's an election coming up February 21st for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Four candidates, two liberal, two progressive, only two of them advanced to the April general election. And the only way to make sure that it's, for example, not the two conservatives is if you're feeling progressive about this, you go vote on February 21st. Go to myvote.wi.gov for more information. Let's do music. Some more music after this, Kristen.
More music. Can't get
enough. After this on Up North News Radio. I'm But tell you what, kids, you look up this video, Rick Astley is never going to give you up because it's his 57th birthday today. And if you're watching the video feed and think Kristen Lyerly is dancing like a goofball, take a look again at his dancing in this music video from the 1980s. And, you know,
adorable.
You tell me dancing. If it's adorable or not. What's that, Aaron?
Technically, it is dancing.
It's something, that's for sure. So Rick Astley, 57 years old today. Not that young punk that we looked at for the first time in a video and said, that's who's got that voice? Really? Okay. Other birthdays and anniversaries of note. Ronald Reagan was born on this day in 1911. The American Legion was founded this day in 1919. Tom Brokaw is 83 years old today. Bob Marley, born on this day in 1945. Natalie Cole, born on this day in 1950. And again, taken away way too soon. And then the one that might really make some people feel old, Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses. 61 years old today.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
I know. Let's see. The number one song, the new number one song this day in 1965 was by the Righteous Brothers.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips.
Just in case people wonder what did...
Yeah? I have a serious question.
Yes.
Which version is better, this one or the Hall & Oates version?
See, now that's a trick question because you know what a Hall & Oates fan I am.
Uh-huh.
And, that is definitely my preferred version. I would, again, say I'm not the biggest Righteous Brothers fan, but I appreciate those who do like them more uh-huh. than I do. How's that?
That was a perfect answer.
Thank you very much. On this day in 1952, King George VI of England passed away. His daughter Elizabeth was touring Kenya at the time and at that moment became Queen of the United Kingdom and then would be coronated the year following. And let's see, let's listen to a little Talking Heads while we talk about something in their history. It's always getting these segments ready that I learn new things. It was on this day in 1984 that Talking Heads did their last concert, a rather messy one, at the Sweetwaters Festival in Christchurch, New Zealand. I've been to Christchurch, just a wonderful town. But anyway, the concert was messy. It was cut short after just a few songs. And, then they would eventually call her quits for a time, though they did reunite in 2002 when they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
How was it
also
messy?
How was what?
How was it messy?
It does not say, and I did not take the time to go find out. I would probably liken it to the last show by the Eagles before their 14-year breakup. And if you've never seen that Eagles documentary, take a look. It's weird that you can see the breakup of a band pretty much live on stage, you know, as it's happening. But once you see it, you appreciate their reunion even more further down the road. And the same can go for Talking Heads. I don't know if this was an NBA All-Star game this day in 1988, but I think it was, because this was the day when Michael Jordan made his signature slam dunk from the free throw line. And it was that dunk that inspired the Air Jordan logo. I remember that at the time. Where your jaw just drops and says, how can any one person do something like that? It was a good time to be a basketball fan, kids, watching Mr. Jordan grow up. Let's see, finally this day, 2003, 50 Cent dropped his major label debut album Get Rich or Die Tryin' with two number one hits, 21 Questions and In the Club.
We gonna party like it's your birthday. We gonna sip Bacardi like it's your birthday.
Which I have a feeling Kristen has danced to more than once or twice at those medical conferences, which are all very serious cerebral affairs, I'm sure.
I've got stories. Yeah.
She didn't say these are radio stories. She just said she has stories.
I love hearing you say things like 50 Cent.
50 Cent?
He was at the Rocker, or he was at the Grammys last night.
Was he? Fitty?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, there is something. Wait a minute. Before we leave music one more time, you were saying, do you really need some new intro music? I think Aaron's got some Mary J. Blige queued up for you. Is that what you're looking for now?
Pull up my new song, my new walkout song, Aaron. Definitely setting my alarm to this.
Okay.
Because when she really gets going, it's this, you know, beautiful self-affirming song where she says, "Good morning, gorgeous." And I thought, yeah, I want to wake up to that every morning.
Oh yeah, because I mean, if I know of anybody who has a problem with self-affirmation, it's Kristen Lyerly. So yeah, if you really need somebody to compliment you, sure, have your alarm do it. There is something new coming to Civic Media. Well, I mean, last week all we talked about was Charlie Behrens, and we played him all weekend long to welcome Charlie Behrens to Civic Media. But now there's more. And if you're listening live on this Monday morning, it starts just about an hour from now when Green Bay Packers legend Gilbert Brown, known as the Gravedigger, joins Earl Ingram on several of our Civic Media stations, launching Under the Helmet. That will be at 8 a.m. Starting today. A nice partnership between Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on the airwaves, and they've known each other for a long time and are going to talk about a lot more than sports. So that's Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, live on Mondays on our stations in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, and Green Bay.
We're so excited.
You should be. And speaking of Green Bay, I finally got to see the Green Bay station, or at least what I thought was going to be the station. You know that that meme of John Travolta, and he's just standing there with his overcoat over his arm, and he's looking to the left, and he's looking for the right, and he's trying to figure out, I forget the scene in the movie, but where he is or what. That was me in Green Bay on Friday, going to what I thought was, well, look, Crute gave me an address. What was it, 401 Washington or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention that there's a North Washington and a South Washington. So there I am down on South Washington looking for something in the 400 block. Nothing at all. Empty lot. Then I go up to the north end of Washington, all new buildings up there on what's it called? City Deck Landing in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But again, the street number is not on the outside of the building. So there I am looking lost again. But I finally find what will eventually be the Green Bay studio for WGBW Civic Media. And then a few minutes later, I see Kristen Lyerly doing the exact same thing, wandering around aimlessly. But we got there. We took a selfie in front of the Green Bay. I heart Green Bay statue or sculpture.
It was with a very the big nice cheese visit. Heart.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. And thank you for helping fill our first hour on what is now Mad Radio in Madison and across Civic Media. It was so good to see you, and we'll do it again Thursday, I think.
If you're Happy up for Monday! It. I'm so up for it, always.
All right, have a great day. We'll talk to you later, and we'll have more coming up in our next hour, including the group Move to Amend about fixing the Constitution next.